Have you ever felt like you just don't fit in somewhere? You know, like, have you ever got all dressed up for a costume party and found out you went show up at the event there and find out that you're the only one dressed up? You know, have you ever gone to work and sat around a table with a bunch of people and they just start giving input and you're just like, what am I doing here? You ever felt like you don't fit in? Imagine how the shepherds felt. Out of all the people in the world, Lord, why tell us? We ain't good enough. We ain't smart enough. And really, people don't really like us so much. You ever felt inadequate? And I remember when I first became a youth pastor, there were so many other youth pastors who just looked the part. You know, I would go to these youth pastor meetings and these guys would come in with their buttonfly jeans and their Calvin Klein shirts. And it was like, man, you look so cool. You just look awesome. You know, there's a youth pastor in our district, and you know what his name was? Johnny Strutt. Like, does not that just say you're the most awesome youth pastor ever? Like, who's your youth pastor? This is my youth pastor, Lance Steves. Really? My youth pastor's Johnny Strutt. Like, wow. That just screams youth pastor. I remember my senior pastor's wife coming up to me one day, and she said to me this. She says, you know, Lance, there is no other person I'd rather lead my kids than you. And I said to her, I don't believe you. Because I know some of the other people in our district. There's better speakers than me. There's better dressed than me. There are smarter people than me. There are people with cooler names than me. I just can't win. And she's like, no, 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 no. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes we just have a hard time hearing the truth sometimes. The part of the Christmas story that I believe is monumental because it shows that God's ways, they're not always our ways. His plans, they're not our plans. Often in the natural, it just doesn't make sense. But he has a divine way to do what he desires to do, like he did in my life, in finding beauty in ashes. I really had two amazing men of God come and speak life into my spirit. When I didn't see what they saw, those two and the Holy Spirit revealed so much deep into my heart. And I hope that you've had those light bulb moments in your life where somebody's come alongside and said, you know what? God can do it. God can do amazing things through your life. Let's read our scripture this morning in Luke 2, 8 to 20. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appearing among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded him. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace to earth, to those whom God has pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. God gets a kick out of doing things his way. Ways that not may seem like the right way in the world, but yet God does it. Isn't that the way the Apostle Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians when he says, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise? But God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring the nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us from wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The shepherds certainly were not boasting that they were the ones who should have been the first people to hear the good news of the Messiah's birth, were they? No, they were living on the low rung of society. They perhaps were self-aware that their culture would have said shepherds should not be the ones to be able to receive that good news. These shepherds were simply doing their jobs as they did every day. It wasn't glamorous, nor a job that was viewed and regarded high by society. In fact, being a shepherd was the bluest of blue-collar jobs, considered by many to be the minimum of minimum wage jobs. The old saying, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it, that certainly would apply to the shepherds, wouldn't it? Man, they would have been surrounded. Their day would have been filled with blood, sweat, and dung. Would not have been pretty. How many people in here have had, you know, Mike Rowe goes around on the TV looking for people who have dirty jobs. How many people have had in their life a dirty job? It was like, oh my word. Like, let me see that again. You know, Chad, what was a dirty job that you had? Cleaning out horse pens. Oh, who can beat that? What was your job? Nursing. Yes. Who else? Who could beat nursing? Yeah. Milk cows and raise pigs. Yeah. Oh. Gutters in a barn, shoveling it out. Yeah, at the back. Oh, I think that wins. Everybody's like, oh. All right. So that was Jacob. You cleaned out sewage. Now, let me just ask you this question. You're cleaning out the sewage. You're doing the job that you were given to do. And then one day an angel shows up and starts talking to you. Would that be weird? Would that be like, what is going on here? The shepherds were doing their job. The shepherds were just hanging out. They're doing what they did every single day. And then an angel of the Lord shows up. Like, I would say 99% of the people put up their hand. Yes, I've had a dirty job. I can put my hand up too. I was a garbage man for about a year and a half, which isn't too bad. But part of the run is I had to do downtown Edmonton. I had to go clean Chinatown. Oh, I tell you, I don't know what they eat or what they threw out there, but it was awful. The smells, it still haunts me. See, I can share that in this service. I won't in the second service because it goes online. But it was a hard job, and if an angel just showed up, it'd be like, why are you talking to me? You know, David's like, I got to clean myself up. I got to get the dirt out of my nails. Man, I tell you, when you're working day after day as a garbage man, you've got dirt under your dirt. And it's like the Christ wants me to go and meet this baby. In the midst of your day, when you're on that job, that would have been just the weirdest thing. Shepherds, they often stayed together and did not associate much with others in society, thus making them social outcasts. However, the outsiders would quickly become the insiders. Regarding that God was up to the other side of the hills where the sheep were grazing and bedding down for their night. Their insider status immediately filled them with the understandable emotion of what? What were they? Afraid. Fear encapsulated them. Now let's not just glaze over that part of the scripture. This was such an important part of the story. The response of fear is where the shepherd's Christmas dilemma, the dilemma of joy, was first established. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. See, the Lord desired to give these people great joy, and thus had the angel call out their fear right from the start. One of the strategies of Satan is trying to flood us with fear when the Lord desires to fill us with his joy. Jesus, identifying himself as the good shepherd in John 10, speaks about this very thing. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal and kill, destroy. I come that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Now, if you are followers of Jesus here this morning, the enemy knows that he can't steal your soul. However, he can try to steal our joy. And sometimes we are like the shepherds who find ourselves flooded with fear, falling into the trap of the evil one who wants to steal our joy. And fear can hinder us from accomplishing what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Remember, he's given us a free will. That fear can cripple us from accepting what God wants us to do. I've asked Officer Tyler Brandt, a son of Christian Center, to come and share this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, church. It's Trooper Brandt, by the way, but we can forgive him. So for those of you that don't know, I'm Tyler Brandt. I'm a state trooper with the Montana Highway Patrol. It was my junior year of high school that the Lord put that calling in my life, that I was going to go and be a state trooper. I was living over in Spokane at the time. So the Washington State Patrol is what I was looking at. When I graduated high school, I moved over here to Bozeman, started going to school at MSU. Finances just weren't working out, and so decided to stop doing that and just started working here in town. And the Montana Highway Patrol was hiring, and they took applicants as young as 18, and I went ahead and turned in an application. Didn't make it through that first round of hiring, waited one more year, and eventually got hired on. I was hired on it. I think I started the academy when I was 19. I turned 20 about 2 or 3 weeks later. And I graduated September 2nd of 2016. When I graduated, after going through all the training, I went and moved out to northeastern Montana up in Culbertson, middle of nowhere, an hour south of Canada, 30 minutes to North Dakota. All by myself, and so I'm 20 years old, I'm pulling people over for DUIs, I've never been around a bar, I've never been around someone that's incredibly intoxicated, so I'm seeing that stuff for the first time, and it was fearful. You're by yourself up there. I was working night shift for a lot of that winter when I was up there. Nearest backup is 3 hours away. Sometimes, as far as a trooper is concerned, if it's a sheriff's deputy, you're looking at about an hour. So you got to learn how to handle those types of situations that we might run into by yourself. I know I just went through a season being up there of just riddled with fear, wasn't eating right. I mean, it was just a lot, and trying to learn this job while also being isolated by myself, it was tough. I then had the pleasure of getting to move back down here towards Bozeman. I was living up in Big Sky. I moved down there, I think it was April of 2017. And on May 16th, 2017, at about 3:15, 3:30 in the morning, I got a call from dispatch telling me that a sheriff's deputy with the Broadwater County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Mason Moore, had been killed on a traffic stop, and that I was to go and go and look for his killers. We didn't know where they were going. We didn't know which direction they had left. We knew that the shooting had happened on 287, just south of Three Forks. And so I got up that morning and started driving towards Bozeman. Like I said, I was up in Big Sky, so I took 191 down and eventually got to the scene. And at that point, when I had finally gotten back into cell connection, I mean, I had about an hour with no cell connection, no radio connection to even hear what was going on. Eventually heard that they had found the suspects and they were in a pursuit, and so I didn't have to, you know, go out and actively be looking for them. But that day forced me to ask myself the question of, do I want to still be doing this job, and am I willing to take on that risk and to be in those types of situations on a day in and day out type of basis? And I didn't know the answer. And I'm really, really thankful that I had the opportunity to walk through a really difficult situation as that was. because when I came to answer that question, it allows me to be where I am now and keep doing the job that I'm doing. But I'd ask myself, why was I afraid? Was I afraid of getting hurt? Was I afraid of getting shot at? Was I afraid of failure? Was I afraid of death? I had to ask myself those types of really, really, really hard questions. And I had to break that fear down. And when I sit down and think about it, I'm not afraid of dying. I know where I'm going. I know that my Father has prepared a place for me, and that's so awesome that we get to have that peace, we get to have that joy, we get to walk in that. But I think it's a fear of the unknown is what I kind of came to. It's you don't know what's going to happen, and there's a fear of having to leave your friends and your family behind if something like that does happen. I think that's a valid fear to have. But it's not a fear of death. It's not a fear of getting hurt or pain. Pain is all temporary. And so when I came to that point where I could answer that question, it's just kind of a fear of the unknown. Well, is that really something to be afraid of? I looked through my journal at some things that I wrestled with this fear earlier this year as well, as I was kind of preparing to share this with you guys. And there are just a couple verses that stood out to me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope. I read the Psalms a lot. I really get encouraged by what David writes in there. He just pours out his heart to the Lord, and he's very transparent. He's not really doesn't really have a filter on, which is awesome that we don't have to have a filter when we go to the Lord. We can just tell him how we're feeling. If we're scared, we can tell him that we're scared. If we're angry, we can say that we're angry. And he accepts that. And all through the Psalms, you just see expressions of David's fear. But he's not crippled by his fear. He calls out to God who gives him strength. Courage does not replace fear. Courage is choosing to act with fear that is still very present and is very real. I have to choose each and every day to get up in the morning or get up at night and go to work. That fear is still there, but I choose to take on courage. And so I want to encourage you guys that fear is always going to be there, but you have the decision to choose whether you're going to be crippled by it or whether you're going to be strengthened and choose to walk in that courage instead. Fear is not something I would ever want to be taken away from me, especially doing what I do, because it keeps me safe as well. God has given me just the ability to look at a situation. If I pull over a car, I kind of have an idea this might be something that's a little bit more sketchy than a normal traffic stop. And I can take that situation. I can be a lot more cautious. I can take a lot more precautions. I can make sure that I can see where the person's hands are at. I can make sure that I'm asking the right type of questions, that I'm not looking over anything. That fear is what enables me to do my job really well. And so you can use that fear to also motivate you and to also be something that drives you forward in life too. I just want to encourage you guys that I think that's just the biggest takeaway. Courage does not replace fear. Courage is choosing to act with fear that is still very present and is very real. Thank you.
So what steals your joy? Is it a post that you read about on Facebook that puts you in a negative light? Is it bills that greet you in the mailbox that are overdue? Is it the number that flashes on the scale when you step out in the morning? Oh, that scares the daylights out of me. Is it hearing the update that another one of your friends got the news that you've been hoping to hear for yourself? Is it the quarterly report that was down because what you needed to be able to retire the next year? Whatever the circumstance or the scenario may be, you have a very, very real enemy that is doing all he can to steal, kill, and destroy your joy. However, the good news of Christmas reminds us that we have a Savior that came to birth great joy inside of us with life that leads to abundance unaccompanied by unnecessary fear. And if you don't always feel like the good news is meant for you, remember what the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds who were dealing with their dilemma of joy that first Christmas night. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all people. That phrase, for all people, means that you're included. This opportunity to experience great joy, no matter how we feel, is truth. Now, if a man comes to us with a gun and approaches us and tells us to give us all of our money, for example, our feelings, and Tyler talked about that, our feelings of fear is understandable. It's telling us that there's danger in the way, and we need to act accordingly. Fear can save our lives when danger is near. That surge of adrenaline kicks in and stimulates us, heightens our senses. When we sometimes forget, though, it is the feelings don't always tell the truth. Sometimes our feelings can get out of sync with reality, can't they? Let me give you an example. Have you ever felt completely alone? Have you ever felt like, Lord, where are you right now, God? I pray and the heavens just seem brass. Lord, are you there? But the Bible, which is truth, tells us that the Lord is always with us, that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So when all of a sudden we start to feel isolated and alone, we understand that our feelings are lying to us. What about the thing, have you ever been scared? Maybe you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you're not paying attention and you feel something walking on your neck and you go like this and you feel something, you're just like, oh, and then you realize it's just your collar poking at you. You know, I imagine that would have been a great picture. You know, you're just, somebody had a videotape that for Facebook, you're just walking all of a sudden, and you're just like, oh, it's just my coat, you know? We've all done that. It wasn't true. It was a lie. I remember one night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I saw this man standing in my room. And I got up, flung the light on, poor Cindy, sound asleep, 2 o'clock in the morning, flung the light on, and I started punching. I realized it was my coat hanging up on the back of the door. That coat never scared me again, I tell you what. This joy, it's for you. Christmas is a hard time for a lot of people. That joy, it's for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He has life and life in abundance. The enemy is trying to convince you that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not clean enough, you're not worthy enough to experience this gift of joy. Never be afraid to receive what God intends to give you. And joy is on that list. And while God so loved the world that he gave his only son, let's just pause and remember this Christmas that you are part of that world that God so loves. The good news is that a Savior was born in Bethlehem for you, for me, for all the people of the whole world. This Savior embodying good news internationally was meant to include the social despised, the economically depressed, the haves and the have-nots of society, the religious shunned in the world that would extend to all people. Nobody gets left out of this joyous news that leads to salvation, yielding abundant life in which the angel of the Lord proclaimed. May we receive this morning not only this eternal gift of joy and grace from God, but may we also share and spread this good news with all people who we come in contact with. That's what the shepherds did. It's what we can do this Christmas too. May our dilemma be with whom you will share first the joyous message of Jesus Christ. What a great story that Andrew shared this morning. It just fits so well in today's message. Sitting around a table, sharing your home, opening up your life to somebody, and now that life is eternally changed. God, would you give us courage? Would you give us that joyous message that burns in our hearts, the desire to be able to share Jesus? You know, I think when we first get saved, that exuberant expression of the Lord just encapsulates us. But then as we get older and we get wiser, we get maybe a little bit more reserved. Man, would you restore unto us the joy of our salvation? Lord, would you help us to keep center what is important, Father? And that's the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. That is what Christmas is all about. Great news for us 2,000 years later. Glory to God. Let's stand this morning. Let's open up our hearts to the Lord. Let's worship Him, for He has come to give us that abundance of joy.